I'm going to try to use this microphone this evening. Can you hear me okay? Good. Welcome this evening. We're glad to be with you. It's good to be able to study together once again. Appreciate the ladies that came together to plan Ladies' Day and working on that. Did anybody enjoy the dinner this afternoon? Yes, good. Some good cooks in the congregation. I was bragging on the folks cooking here, and it proved to be true, and we appreciate that so much. I invite you to take your Bibles out, if you would, and turn to Romans chapter 10, from where we're going to study this evening. We're going to talk about the preacher. You know, sometimes when people mention the idea of talking about the preacher, all that has to be said is, did you hear what the preacher did? That gets folks' attention. Well, we have an account in Romans chapter 10 about the preacher. And I hope as we study that things will become very, very evident concerning what the preacher is about as we study together. So we want to begin reading, if you would, with verse 12. Romans chapter 10. He says, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. So as we think about starting our lives as a Christian, we start as human beings who are in need of salvation, who are in need of a Savior, who are in need of remission of sins. And when we obey the gospel, we've got a God who will give us the promise that if we do what He says, that He will forgive us. In fact, we learn that He remembers sin no more. So as human beings, we are fit in the body of Christ to walk in a new life in righteousness. And He goes and makes it clear that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Of course, looking back and referring back to the Old Testament. And then He goes on, verse 14, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? In pulpits all across America, in the Lord's church, men are preaching the gospel. Men in Columbia are preaching the gospel. They're preaching the gospel so folks can hear. And that is what He's going to point out. And then He goes on, verse 15, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Significant is the concept that the gospel is to be proclaimed. And so when you think about a preacher, he picks up the book, of course, that we have now, and he's able to declare what they declared in the first century. He's able to verbalize what they verbalized in the first century in order to produce the same result. And you'll note in this slide right here, the question is asked that we have here in the Scripture. How shall they hear without a preacher? Well, Harry say with a hearing aid. But we know there's more under thought and discussion than just a hearing aid. The fact is, men take upon themselves to face the challenge to preach the gospel to those who are lost and those in need and those who need to be encouraged and exhorted in their faith. In Acts chapter 10, verse 42, we read some interesting words in that passage of Scripture because He declares, and He commanded us to preach to the people. And there is the audience defined for those who preach. It's the people, because the people need to hear. People are in need of salvation. People are in need of words of exhortation, encouragement. They need the truth in order to walk with God like they should walk. And he goes on in this passage, the writer Luke says, and to who testify that it is He who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. When you boil this verse down, the reason for preaching is Christ. He's the one that needs to be preached. He's the center. He's the focus. But here's the question. Notice the question at the bottom of the slide. How shall they hear without a preacher? Now, the word preacher is an interesting word that's used in this passage of Scripture. And it is a word which means to herald or proclaim, to sound forth a message. And it refers to a message in this particular case that's primarily public. And it's also a word that describes a public proclaimment or preaching or a message that is preached with persuasion or conviction. So it is a part of a passionate preaching. It is a part of a declaration that has reason and motive behind it. And we're going to take a look at that. And in order to do that, I want to start right here. You're thinking, we saw cars this morning. Well, you get one more tonight. How many of you have ever driven a car that looks like this, besides Harry? Harry's probably worked on these. How many of you know what kind of car this is? Can you see? Some of you shaking your head. This is a Mercury. Anybody own a Mercury? There we go. Got some Mercury owners out there. Well, this is a Mercury. And it's interesting that they use the terminology Mercury. And as you look at this old ad for a Mercury automobile, do you see the wings on the head of this person depicted in the advertisement? Well, this person is probably depicting more than just a person, because the phrase or term Mercury refers to Hermes, the Roman god, or actually the Roman name for Hermes in the Greek was Mercury. And Hermes was an ancient Greek god. He was one, as history tells us, one of the Olympian gods. And why this is significant is that he was the messenger or the herald or the preacher, if you can use that word in its literal sense, the proclaimer for the gods. How many of you have ever witnessed or had in your hand a Mercury dime? Most of us, right? That's where that Mercury comes from. And the Charax that this is referring to in the original language, you can look up in the Encyclopedia Britannica, and it will give you some information about the word that is used, that's translated here as preacher. Now, why this is important is because it gives us an idea of what the writer of the New Testament meant when he, under inspiration, wrote these words. And the idea here is that this was a person who was given the job to bring messages. And not just any messages, but this was messages of great importance. And so therefore, he had purpose and he had some passion involved in the deliverance of the message. It could be a message of invasion. It could be a message of war. It could be a message that was from one leader to another. And of course, significantly, it goes back to a message that was meant to be sounded forth, even involving the ancient Greek gods. Now, oftentimes, when folks drive by the building here, they'll wonder or think about this question. Who is the preacher? Have you ever driven by church buildings? You've been out traveling and you wonder, well, wonder who's preaching there? Who is the preacher? Most of the time when we think of preacher, we think of it in a noun form, right? We think of it as a title, as reference to man, like used in this question, who is the preacher? Well, as you look at this verse and how it's constructed, the word preacher or preacher here is actually in reference not to a noun, but a verb. Particularly as you look at this passage here. How shall they hear without a preacher? It's not a preacher in a noun form. How shall they hear without someone preaching? It's in reference to the action that is taking place. And what's interesting, the word preacher in our New Testament is only used 3 times in noun form. But what is exciting, when you look at the word in the New Testament, it's used over 60 times in verb form. Does that tell us something? Who is the preacher? Who is this one that the Scripture says, how are they going to hear without someone preaching? Well, I want to submit tonight just briefly with you that first of all, a preacher is a man in verb form. He's a man of action. And that is the design of the preaching that we read about here. It's for a man to be in motion. He is to be a man who is a man of action. Now, I love this slide right here. This is a group of graduates from a preacher school in India. And what's exciting about it is they've got their gowns on. They're proud, if you can use that word in its right form. Not an arrogant pride, of course. But they are graduates. And just like graduates here, notice what they're wearing, their gowns. But you also notice something different that you don't see many graduates, either of high school or college, even preacher schools here, have with them. You notice something different? What they got? Bicycles. Does that tell you something? That's describing the word, isn't it? They are people of action. And they're taught in the school that they need to be in motion. And as you look at Jesus as the preacher in verb form, He was definitely a man of action. Two passages I just want to share with you. Matthew 11, verse 1. It came to pass that when Jesus finished commanding His 12 disciples, that He departed. And from there to teach and preach in their cities. Notice He moves into action. Mark 1, verse 38, but He said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also." So they were men going to deliver a message. Jesus was a man going to deliver a message. And this was an example that Jesus set for His disciples. In fact, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what do you see when you read about the disciples? They're in motion, and who are they in motion with most of the time? They're in motion with Jesus. Mark 3, verse 14, He appointed 12 that they might be with Him, and that He might send them out to do what? To proclaim, to herald forth, to preach. Acts 10, verse 42, we understand from reading this passage of Scripture that they understood their mission. He commanded us to preach to the people. That verse again, commanded us to preach. And so they were in motion. They were men who understood their job. Because Jesus had said to them, as we know in Matthew 28, to go. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to do what? Observe all things that I have commanded you. And notice what He said to them, "And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." So you look at this passage, you see the work of a preacher. We can call it a twofold work because they have the job of going, making disciples, teaching the gospel, baptizing, of course, and then teaching those who are baptized because they must be taught to grow and to mature, and we understand that. And of course, the important factor here that I want us to understand is that they are definitely men of action. As you look at Romans chapter 10, note what it says as you look at verse 15. "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel." Wow. You see, the preacher is in motion. He's the one sent. And how shall they preach unless they're sent? Now, I can assure you, these feet that you're looking at up here are not very pretty physically, are they? They're quite dirty, they're quite dusty, and if you look at the nails, they need some real work. But it doesn't matter, does it? Not if those feet and the man who occupies that body understands the work and carries the truth, and he is a man of action, then the gospel is preached. Of course, that passage, if you look back in Isaiah 52, verse 7, is the passage that reads like this, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news." You see the first part of that verse? How beautiful upon the mountains? If you were to be preaching in that part of the world, in Israel and Judea and Samaria, in that area, you had to deal with some mountains. You had some pretty good climbing to do. Now, for folks that like to go out to Colorado, not to mention the Sanders, and see the mountains, they might enjoy the mountains over there, but you're in for a climb. Those feet got to work out, in other words. And what are they going to do? They're going to take those feet and bring good news, proclaim peace with glad tidings of good things, proclaiming salvation. And He says to Zion, "Your God reigns." So they went with a message. Isn't it interesting if you can see this? I may blow this up a little bit. This was a little bit difficult for me to get used to when I did some work in India on a couple of trips. It's the bare feet. Dirty feet. But here we have beautiful feet. Why? Because these preachers are men of action. Why? Because they're motivated. And that's the exciting part as you look at this passage. He gives us the reasons why we should be motivated. You start out in chapter 10, verse 1. Paul writes, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved." Notice there, as you look at this passage, I've emphasized heart's desire. A preacher is a man who has internal motivations. He's one who preaches for desire. And that desire is for salvation of others. And when that is a motivation, then he's going to do the work that he needs to do. And I have to remind myself all the time, what is the mission? What is the work? It's the salvation of people's lost souls. And it is tragic to think about the number of people that leave this life unprepared to meet God. And of course, when we think about that, that serves to motivate us, knowing that unless they hear the gospel, unless they hear the preaching, they have not obeyed the gospel. Because the gospel must be preached. Folks must learn, either from picking up the Bible or hearing the gospel, they must learn what they must do. Nobody's going to accidentally get into heaven, are they? Just not going to happen. And so clearly in Romans chapter 10, beautiful are those feet. Why? Because they're preaching. And they're motivated to preach. As Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 15, I'm ready. Some translations say eager. Eager, ready to preach the gospel. Why? Well, when you look at verse 16, as we noted this morning, as we have studied, as you have probably memorize this passage. We're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is what? The power of God for salvation. Once again, motivation. Why? The gospel is that which is essential for salvation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, Paul says, "For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting." Paul didn't wear a title to boast. He didn't put a suit on. He didn't put a tie on and say, "Look at me, I am a preacher." Oh no. He took upon him the mission with the message. And what does he say here in verse 16, 1 Corinthians 9? "For necessity. For necessity is laid upon me. Woe if I do not preach the gospel." That's from the heart. That's a part of the motivation. Woe to me if I do not preach, proclaim, herald forth, preach with a passion, declare the gospel. Because the gospel is the good news. It's what provides the salvation. And so when we think about it, here we have preaching. Why? For salvation. And that should be the motivating factor. But there's something else we must consider tonight before we end this lesson. A preacher is, as Scripture says, a man. Now, ladies, I'm not talking about the fact that you can't go teach somebody the gospel. We all have opportunities to teach. We're talking about the man who takes upon himself to preach publicly. Or in another reference, when you think about the preacher, a preacher is a human being. As you look at this picture that you see on your screen in front of you, can you pick out the preacher? You got him found? Well, he's not wearing a tie, I don't think. It's not the ladies, obviously. Let's see, he's not over there and back. You know, I don't know who the preacher is here. They may all be preachers. I hope they are. And I hope all those men are preaching publicly in various congregations that are scattered throughout the villages. But the one I would want to pick out is this guy right here. You see him? Is that big enough to see? You see his teeth? What's he doing? He's smiling, isn't he? You see, as a man, human being, he knows joy. Of course, there's heartache and sorrow. He also knows what it means to fail as a human being, what it means to sin, what it means to deal with issues like we deal with every day of our life. But he also knows joy. the joy that is there because of the preaching of the gospel. And so clearly, as you think about it, this man has a job, but it's a great job. And it's a job that a human being, a man, can do. Remember what Jesus did when he met Peter and Andrew? What did he say to them? He saw them casting a net into sea. He said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." He took men and gave them a job working. A job of being active as a proclaimer, preacher, one who heralds forth the good news of the gospel. Of course, they were starting out preaching the good news of the coming of the kingdom. Later on, after Jesus was resurrected, of course, we know their message. They were offering to the world salvation through Jesus Christ. And it's interesting in verse 20 that these men, they immediately left their nets and followed him. He took ordinary men who were fishing and gave them another mission, to fish for men. You know, as men too, there's the joy, but there's also the discouragement. And I want to point that out because of what's said in this passage of Scripture. If you look at verse 15, Romans 10, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel." Now that's opportunity for preaching, isn't it? But it also could say or be telling us that they have not all obeyed because they refuse to hear. And that's the sad part. And for me, that's the discouraging part. When I have opportunity to sit down and teach somebody, I want them to obey the gospel. And it's heartbreaking for me when they don't. And I wonder, could I have said something else? Could I have showed them some other passage? Could I have done something else to motivate them to be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ? And that can be somewhat discouraging. He goes on, verse 17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, they've heard. Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, their words to the ends of the world." The Apostle Paul, as he's looking at this and looking at these words that are written, he's making it clear that the mission of the preacher is to preach. The words are to go out into all the world. And yet, he's acknowledging that people will not obey. They'll choose not to. They'll not respond. And therefore, of course, they take upon themselves that responsibility. But yet, the mission stays the same for the preacher. He is a man with a mission. A man who is a man of action. And tragically, people do not listen. Romans chapter 10, if you'll jump down there to verse 21. "But to Israel he says, all day long I've stretched my hands out to a disobedient and contrary people." God sent prophet after prophet, reaching out so that they could respond and repent and turn to him. But what happened? They refused. And that's disheartening to a preacher. Yet we know that that's not the truth for everybody. But sometimes it's real easy for us to go, nobody wants to hear the gospel. Nobody wants to hear anymore. So therefore, okay, I'll try a little bit. And we lose the passion. But that passion should never go away. Because we have to believe in the power of the Word. We have to believe that when the hand is stretched out, that there are people who will respond. And as you look at Romans chapter 10 and verse 20, "But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me." Of course, I think Isaiah is looking forward to the time of the Gentiles coming in to obedience to the gospel. But there's a point being made. There are those who will listen because of the message that is preached. And that is exciting. That somewhat renews the passion of the concept of someone preaching. To know that there are people who will obey the gospel, who will respond to the truth of God's Word. Because the power is in the Word. And when they hear the Word, it affects their hearts and lives, as we looked at this morning. Piercing to the heart. Piercing to the very center. To the point that people will be responsive. But one other thing I want to mention before we close this evening Right now, as you all know, there's a new preacher, a new man, and a new work. And I know the congregation here through the years, as Kathy and I have been in other places, has had a number of preachers who have given their hearts and their lives to the congregation. And I'm truly thankful for those men who have, in their dedication as human beings, took upon themselves the action of preaching. And I have the great fortune of being able to build upon their work in the sense that they've taught and taught and taught. They've been outreaching out to the community. And then I get to come along, and as the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So I'm going to hope that whatever planting and watering that takes place with the Word of God from this point on will bear fruit, knowing that it's God that gives the increase. And I'm glad there's been seed planted. And I hope that we can nourish that together so that we can see the fruit that is produced from the gospel. But it's interesting in verse 7, as we talk about the preacher as a man, this is something that every preacher must remember. Verse 7, so then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. A preacher doesn't glorify himself. He doesn't stand and proclaim to have folks admire him as the individual. He stands and he preaches to change lives with the gospel. And that's significant. And that's what the work and the action is all about. So that God gets the glory. But it's God who gives the increase. Verse 8, now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. I'm not going to be like any preacher that you've had previously. I'm different. If you don't believe that, just ask Kathy. Now, what do I do that's similar? I will preach the truth. I make it my goal to preach the truth. And if you hear me preach or teach something that is not true, you make sure and let me know. Because I want to know. Because my heart's committed to preaching the truth. I'm also working to make sure that my heart's committed to being a person with a passion for the lost. And that then in turn motivating me to be a person of action. I want to share with you a quick story. Got a phone call one day from a 16-year-old lady, the young lady that we'd been working with at Collinsville. She had been in Bible classes. She'd been one of the children that was picked up on the bus. And she called me, and we were going out on with a youth thing, I think, and she wasn't able to participate, but she called me and she says, I am thinking about being baptized. Well, I knew she needed to study some more, so I told her, I said, call the preacher. I was working as an associate minister. I said, call the preacher Vance. He'll be glad to study with you. Well, she called him, but he wasn't available either. And I believe it was the next day that we got the news that she fell off the back of a pickup and lost her life. I never have forgotten that. And I've said, what if, a lot of times. If I had known what was going to happen, it wouldn't be the same. I would have excused myself from whatever activity we were involved in at that time, and I would have studied with that girl. And I use that to this day, and I share it with you just to say this, that we just don't know how much time people have. Therefore, truly as a proclaimer, a man of action, and as a human being, we must be motivated with the passion. Because folks need the gospel, and that's the only way they will have hope. And so it is tonight. We look at this, a preacher is a man of action, a motivated man, and a man with feet. He's human, and that always looks so pretty, but he's carrying a message of salvation. And so tonight, we're going to stand and we're going to offer an invitation for you. If you're here and you're not yet a baptized member of the body of Jesus Christ, then we want to encourage you to do what's right. If you understand faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, then we want to encourage you to do what you need to do. And as a Christian, if you're not walking faith with the Lord, why not tonight make the change that puts you on the right track with the Lord? Because we just don't know how much more time we've got. Why not tonight take opportunity of the time you do have right now as we stand and sing? Would you come?